Well, I guess I might as well just try to do this. It's the news, according to me. Yes, hello. It is, it's late. It's late at night. It's 10 o'clock, 10.05 Eastern Standard Time. I am in the Central Standard Time, I'm in the Central Time Zone right now. I'm in Wisconsin. And, I will be here for the next few days. Next four evenings, I will be here until Sunday evening. I'll be going home. But yeah, so I don't know if I'm gonna have a show in the morning or not. Early mornings, I have a tendency when I'm up here in this area, I have to go to work kind of early. Work, I call it work. Kind of liberally use that term. I have stuff to do early in the morning here, early, and that's like 8 o'clock, 7:30, 8 o'clock Central Time. By the time I get up and do a workout of any kind, I usually do my cardio in the morning. So if I get up and do that, which consists of basically walking fast from the bed to the bathroom, that's my cardio. I do cardio in the morning, and then what I end up doing is I have breakfast after that, and then I have to get going. So if I keep a short show in the morning, which I bet that most of you would probably appreciate that. The shorter the show, the better. So having said all that, I guess this is the end of the show. This will be your favorite show right here. It'll be 3 seconds long. The one thing that was going on was. I was just that I am kind of curious if you want to know what's in my cup. You know, I don't have a cup. I do have a cup actually. I left my cup down in the car. That's odd. I left my cup down there. I was going to bring my cup in and I forgot it. So the juice that's in my cup is actually going to be very fermented by tomorrow, which will be interesting when I drink it. Probably shouldn't drink that and drive. I do have this water here that I have. It's in a bottle. It's not in a cup. So I do have that going for me, and I'm not going to, I've already brushed my teeth for the evening. I'm not going to drink anything that's got any kind of, you know, whatever that stuff in. So tomorrow morning, it'll be interesting to see what happens here. Whether or not I'm able to do a show or not. Now, tonight's show will not be super long. However, it's not going to be super short either. I was listening to Robert Gavario, or whatever his name is. He's got a show, he's got a channel. If you go to watchingthewatchers.com, he's a lawyer. Really good information. He just kind of covers a whole bunch of things this evening. He'd been covering the Sussman trial. And I was listening to that because I was listening to his synopsis of what all happened there. He's got some opinions I'd kind of disagree with on a few things, but not legally disagree with, but just in terms of politics. Now, interestingly enough, he's a good lawyer. He's a defense lawyer, but he's did a good job of analyzing this stuff. And I guess he's been on some major television shows. I guess I didn't realize he had quite the connections that he does. He was on Megyn Kelly, I guess, recently. Robert Gavario, I think, is his name. If I didn't pronounce it right the first time, I think I pronounced it right. I pronounce it wrong every time, probably, but that's what I'm. Thinking his name is. Apparently, he was on Megyn Kelly. Now, Megyn Kelly, I have to say, I'm not terribly impressed with Megyn Kelly. When I first saw her on Fox a long time ago, when she was first on Fox, and I listened to her reports and what she was saying, I was extremely impressed. She seemed to be really intelligent. And then I don't know what happened at some point. She seemed to have lost her mind. She seemed to have gone really off the deep end and became this flaky little creature. I don't understand what happened to her brain. It was almost as if someone removed it, because I don't have any other explanation. I don't understand what happened there. So I'm not sure what happened there. But in the meantime, of course, now she went kind of off the rails and left Fox in some kind of a tizzy, and then she, I don't know, she went to. Was it CNBC or someplace? She went to someplace else, NBC, whatever she went to. Now, you notice that there are some other news organizations, like Chris Wallace and some others. And some of these people have gone over to the other side. They've gone to CNN, or they've gone to, I know Camerata was one of those people who went from Fox to CNN. And gone completely off the deep end when they went over there. They either go off the deep end or they just kind of disappear. Their shows don't go anywhere and they just kind of go away. Now, my theory, this is my theory on that, is that some of these big news organizations, they have the money. They flash the money in front of these people and tell them, hey, we really need the balance of having you. You're so well balanced on the Fox. You're one of those few people on the Fox channel that we really like Chris Wallace. Of course, now he was rewarded because he wasn't a Trump supporter. He was anti-Trump. Thanks, Chris. You really got us into, you really helped us out here in this country. You did a good job getting rid of those mean tweets. We're in good shape now. But I think he was rewarded to some degree, he thinks, by the, was it MSNBC or CNN? I think it was CNN took him on. I don't know who it was. They're one and the same. And he went over there thinking, oh, I'm going to be the big guy now. I'm the important man. You have to keep in mind, Brian Kilmeade, for years, kissed up to Chris Wallace. They acted like buddies. Every week they'd have a report on what Chris was going to have over the week. On Fridays, he would always come on the show. I don't know how much of that was imposed upon him because of what the higher-ups at Fox News wanted him to do to promote the show. But they certainly acted awfully buddy-buddy when it came time to talk on the show, on Brian Kilmeade's show in Fox and Friends in the morning. Kilmeade in the morning, whatever it was, on the radio show. Now, I think he actually went on Fox and Friends as well on Fridays and talked to him. But I'm not positive of that. I never watched Fox and Friends much in the mornings. I do listen to the radio, the Kilmeade show, occasionally in the mornings, only because it's on the radio in my local area on News Talk, and that's if I happen to not be listening to something else, I'll listen to that. Occasionally, Brian has some decent guests on there and some good interviews. Here's my take on Brian. Brian is not a conservative. He is an establishment Republican, more interested in sports than politics. But he'll do the politics thing. He knows politics and knows a few things about some of those kinds of things. But he is as much of a Republican rhino, in my opinion, as anybody out there. He does, however, have a pretty good, he does a pretty good job of maintaining relationships with everybody. I mean, Jim Jordan will speak to him, and it's pretty much everybody. He'll have a conversation with anybody, and I appreciate that about him. Let me just say that. I do respect that about him. He will engage in a conversation with most anybody. Now, everybody at Fox, in my opinion, was a little bit anti-Trump. Now, Dinesh D'Souza, apparently on his podcast recently, I think in the last couple of days, has brought up Fox News. He's asking the question, what's going on at Fox? There's apparently some things going on there. I have not had a chance to listen to Dinesh's most recent podcast, and I need to get up. I'm going to listen to that this evening to find out what he's pointing out that's going on over there. Interesting stuff, though. It does seem to be something weird going on. In the midst of all of that going on, we also have a strange thing going on here with Tucker Carlson. Tucker is just on fire right now, chasing after some things that his show tonight, I tried to watch most of it. I was kind of distracted by some other work I had to do. But he apparently is, yesterday, I think, I saw a clip of, this is actually just a YouTube clip, that was extremely interesting. He had Matt Gaetz on there, which I didn't think he got. And this is Robert Govey or whatever his name is. He's kind of the one who pointed this out on his show. I saw the episode where Matt and Tucker kind of got into it a little bit. They didn't get along very well, and it was something to do with whatever was going on with Matt and the accusations against him and how he, Matt was, I don't know what ended up happening there, but it was kind of a weird interview, and it was partially weird because of the way Tucker treated Matt. I don't think Tucker realized that at the time. Maybe he did. Maybe he eventually, but Matt, he had Matt Gaetz back on again. Gaetz, whatever his name is. He had him back on again because apparently he has discovered some, I don't know that Matt himself did the investigative work on this. I doubt it. Somebody probably brought it to Matt. Now, sometimes you have to be really careful with this stuff because there are people who are after Matt Gaetz. They are trying to get him. They are trying to set him up, frame him, do whatever they can. Oh, you don't think so? They tried to frame the President of the United States. That's what this whole thing was. This Trump-Russia thing was a frame job. They were diligently and adamantly trying to get him convicted with false evidence. How else do you want to say it? It's a frame job. They were framing the President of the United States. And it was all sanctioned and approved by one Hillary Clinton. Hillary Rodham Clinton, to be exact. This was going on. Now, one of the things that Gaetz found, and I've been telling you, the high-ups at the FBI are out of control. Now, Robert Gauveia thinks that that this thing goes in cycles, and when the Republicans get in charge, they're going to do the same kinds of things to combat the leftists and do the same things and try to get involved with this disinformation type campaign type stuff. And I don't see the Republicans doing that. The end does not justify the means with the Republicans, and that's the whole thing about the Democrats is their motive and their only moral standard is the end justifies the means. They create this monster, and they think that we have to do anything that we can to defeat this monster because it's justified because it's a monster. In our minds, it's a monster, and we got to do something about it. And anything we do is justified. That's where they go with this. Now, I don't see the Republicans doing that. The Republicans, on the other hand, especially the Rhino establishment, will simply get in power, and they will like being in that place, and they won't know what to do then. It's like a dog that chases a car, and when it catches the car, it doesn't know what to do with it. Well, there, I got the car. I don't know what's too big to. I can't do anything with it. It's almost like they're in a clumsy position at that point. They don't know how to lead from the front. They know how to fight when they're weak and can't do anything, and act like they're the tough guys. But then it's when they're out front leading, they don't know how to lead. The sad part of this is that the Democrats. Here's where it all comes together, and this is where I've been telling you the Sussman trial was very telling. Now I thought it was going to be a hung jury. I thought that they at least had a few people on the jury who were potentially. Well, I figured there were at least a couple of plants from the Hillary campaign that were on that jury. The whole idea of this, I think, and I'm not sure if this was Durham's plan or not. I think he knew going in that this was going to be a tough case because the jury itself was Washington, from Washington people. Now, the more I understand here is there were literally people who, on the jury, who were doing, they worked on phone calling for the DNC campaign. This was as political as it can be, this trial was. As politically polarized as it could be. And my understanding is pretty much just about everybody on this jury was a Hillary supporter or sympathetic to Hillary. Hated Donald Trump. One of them even admitted to hating Donald Trump. And they saw this as an opportunity, a vindication or an attempt. They saw Durham as a Trump guy, appointed by Bill Barr, who was Trump's attorney general. So therefore, they're trying to defend this guy. This is why he was acquitted. You cannot look at this trial, at any of the evidence that was presented, and not realize that Sussman lied to the FBI, which is what he... Now, this is Michael Sussman. If you think about this, let's look at this in another light. Let's talk about another Michael that didn't even lie to the FBI, but was accused of lying and ended up getting convicted of lying in an attempt to actually cooperate with the FBI. They called him and framed him, in my opinion, set him up, entrapped him, and if you want to call it that. If you look at all the details of the case of Michael Flynn, he was entrapped by the FBI, accused of lying, when he actually didn't lie. And they went after him and got him because it was the DC crowd that did that to him. Now, you didn't hear about this case going on for weeks and years. It was a case that was just a sweep and gone, done. You think for a minute that what he did was anything worse than what Sussman did. Now, keep in mind, maybe Sussman didn't lie to the FBI. Let's just say for a moment that he didn't lie. But let's talk about what he was actually doing in the process of going to the FBI to begin with. He was taking this supposed evidence to the FBI that never touched a field agent. And when you hear this whole story in the timeline, you start to realize this was an inside job directly to the FBI, to individuals like Andy McCabe and others, who had it in for Donald Trump. They were trying to set up Donald Trump to begin with. You cannot tell me for a moment these people aren't left-leaning, that they don't have any kind of bias or implicit bias. Because they do. Period. They absolutely do. Look at the text messages that were going on about Donald Trump. They were trying to affect the outcome of an election, period. This is covert terrorism. Here's the real bombshell in this whole report that came out from this whole thing. Now, we're going to talk about the election as well. Recently, we just had a report from SUSA, I think it's called. It's the National Committee of Voting. And if you report on this, if you actually read the report that came out, there are people being censored and dropped and having their videos removed from YouTube and Google because they're reporting and they're reading the actual report that was put out by the National Voting Council or whatever it is, the Election Committee, Oversight Committee. And one of the things that they're saying, we'll get into that a little bit later, but it's this whole thing about the election and how it can be rigged. They're the ones who were saying that we had the best, most secure election ever. And now they're saying that these voting machines are actually... And now, why would they be saying that? They know that there's going to be a landslide election if things remain the same. There's going to be a landslide election in 2022. In just a few months. And all of a sudden they come out and they start talking about the potential for hacking into the voting machines. But I digress. The thing about the Sussman trial, and this is the bombshell that Gates had. He has this letter. There's a whistleblower of some kind for Perkins Coie. Now, Perkins Coie or whatever it is, this law firm that Sussman worked for was strangely, this is the weirdest thing I've ever heard of, that the FBI set up an office, a workspace within Perkins Coie. Now, if you look at the job description and what Perkins Coie, this law firm, advertises that they do for clients, it almost looks identical to Fusion GPS. With the difference being that this law firm does, it has a longer list of things it does, but the main things that it does, you could take that same job description and put it right on top of Fusion GPS and it would look almost identical. Now keep in mind, Fusion GPS is run by someone who's married to Nellie Orr, who works for the FBI, is a high up in the whole process, who would have been privied to all the information that was going on with the Trump investigation. Fusion GPS is the company that was charged or hired to find opposition research on Donald Trump, and they're the ones who came up with the dossier from Steele, the British spy. So all this stuff is going on, and these connections are going on. And guess who worked? This workspace was set up in 2012. 2012 was when Obama was in his second election. Now, I had a very bad gut feeling about the 2012 election, almost as bad as I did about the 2020 election. But the 2012 election did not add up for me. It just did not make sense at all. I did not see any way that Obama won that election. Now, granted, I'm glad Mitt Romney did not become president. Don't get me wrong. However, the second term of Obama brought us a whole lot of weird stuff because he had nothing to hold him back. Keep in mind, right before the 2012 election, he told an ambassador on a hot mic, didn't realize that anybody could hear him. He said, make sure that we can talk about that after the election, because let Vlad know after the election I'll have more liberty with those things. Talk about collusion with a foreign power. What was that all about? It's one of the weirdest statements ever to be caught on a hot mic between a president and an ambassador to Russia. This stuff goes deep. And it's, call it what you will, I still call it the deep state, and I'm not saying that in any kind of conspiratorial manner. I'm just calling it as a description of what is the bureaucrat alphabet soup organizations that exist behind. They're not elected officials. They stay in office, or they stay there in their positions for long periods of time, operating under some guise of being apolitical. They just serve under whatever administration is there. They have been infiltrated by radical leftists who operate in this what looks like a squeaky clean environment. They are not at all non-biased or apolitical in any way, any shape of the matter. I do believe John Durham is, or attempts to be, just a follower of legal process and tries to keep a blind eye, but he's realizing that there is a wall that you run into when you expect the judicial process to be unbiased. Now, I don't know how that's going to affect the rest of his investigations. I know there's more things coming down the pike. This isn't over just because he lost this one. In fact, it may be very telling in some of the things that came out in testimony, which he can now use as evidence, by the way. Especially the idea that Hillary Clinton signed off on this whole idea, that she approved it, whether she thought of it or not. She didn't think of it, but she definitely approved of it, of sending this whole thing. And then she went out and broadcast over Twitter and other speeches that she did, that Russians did this stuff, and that also that this whole idea that they've computer computer experts have found evidence of Trump being linked to this Alphabet Bank. Guess what? That was a lie. He was not linked to the Alphabet Bank. The news is still saying it that way, that Sussman had this evidence of Trump being linked to the Alphabet Bank in Russia, that there was this back channel. And guess what? That information was false. Now, Sussman may not have known. He may have just been the lackey that they sent. They may have just said, we'll give this to Sussman, have him take it over there to the FBI. He thinks it's true, so therefore he won't be lying by giving them false information. He just thinks that this is a real report. Maybe. Maybe Sussman knew all about it to begin with. So the big issue isn't that he lied to the FBI about not working for Hillary Clinton, even though he billed her for the time that he spent there with the FBI when he went. He went there. He called them with this information. He went directly to the top. He called the director on a Sunday and got a meeting on a Monday, the next day in the afternoon. Are you telling me his schedule just happened to be open 24 hours later? Seems a little bizarre to me. So the FBI has a workspace within Perkins Coie. What that means, I'm not even sure. But Sussman, in 2012, worked there for at least 4 years. On that desk, he was the guy at that desk with a badge to get into the FBI offices. He didn't need security clearance. He had an FBI badge. When they set up the meeting, there were text messages and emails about that very conversation. The FBI contact that he had asked him the question. They said, "Will you need a badge to get in, or do you still have a badge to get in through security?" "I have a badge. I can get in myself. I just need to know what room number you're in." This is alarming news, if this is all true. Now, I would not be surprised if the FBI has a working office, a workspace at MSNBC or CNN. I know they have people. There are individuals from the CIA and the FBI probably working as undercover agents in some media outlets. I have no doubt about that. That has actually been in sworn testimony from long ago, back in the I think the 80s or the 90s. If you look up Operation Mockingbird and what they were doing with all that, they never claimed to have shut it down. There's never been any evidence brought forth that it was actually shut down. There is evidence that they may have changed the name. This is the kind of stuff that is disturbing, to say the least. And it is, I believe, very telling of where we're at. Now, where I disagree with Robert Gavea is he thinks that this is going to circle back, and you know, even though the Democrats now are high-fiving each other and thinking that they got away with something, and because they were able to pull one over on the FBI, or however you want to call it, that they got the FBI on their side, or whatever it is that they're thinking. They think that the Republicans are going to do the same thing now, and they're going to come back and fight the same way. This isn't going to work when you have the media, a Democrat Party, and the FBI, as well as who knows how many other alphabet soup organizations, the NSA, the CIA, the DDA, who knows how many of those are involved with people high up. I mean, you get, look at General Milley. Look at the head of the DOD. Look at any of these organizations and tell me if they've got woke politics coursing through their veins right now, woke theology and woke philosophies. That's all they're concerned about right now. There's some questions here about who's running the show and what all's going on there. And how exactly are we holding accountable the individuals who are connected in all these ways to different things, like Fusion GPS, Perkins Coie, all this stuff. One last thing I'll talk about. Now, there are ways we can fix the FBI, by the way. I don't want to just talk about... If you were to step into office today, if I were to step into office today, I would start compartmentalizing everything at all these organizations. You don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. You have people work on very focused, concentrated things with blinders on. They have no idea what everybody else is working on. And you keep those things compartmentalized to the point where only a few people understand what's going on, and those people don't have any access. Anything that that comes in to the office has to come in through a set of channels where there's accountability. You have certain field agents that take in certain information and disseminate it, and they can only do so much of it. That can be compartmentalized as well, same way. This keeps anybody from having a political influence on anything that's going on. Now, having said all of that, we have an issue here down in, I don't know how to pronounce it. I've heard it pronounced several different ways. What happened in Texas with the shooting? You know, you get Biden making really stupid comments about 9mm bullets and just weird stuff. He doesn't even have any clue what he's talking about. The whole issue of this apparently one of the teachers left a door propped open. That did not happen, apparently. Now, it depends on who you listen to. There's all kinds of different reports. There is a video of her showing that the surveillance video of the door being slammed shut. She went out to get her phone, I guess, came back in, and slammed the door shut. It did not lock, according to what police have said in their report. Why it didn't lock, they don't know. Was it because something was fixed to it? There's just a whole lot of things we don't know about this whole thing. It's just a whole lot of fog right now. I hate to even make any comments on it at this point. It looks more and more like the police are just, they didn't do their job. And the people who did are not getting credit for anything that's really happened there. And of course, the whole issue of guns is in the center of all this. And it's, a whole lot of ridiculous statements, a lot of things going on. So I will be done there. It's 20 till 11. By the time this gets posted, it'll probably be 11 o'clock tonight. Hopefully there will be a show tomorrow morning. I do appreciate you listening. I appreciate you sharing and subscribing to the show. I know that there's just some heavy topics right now that are being discussed, and I need to talk about them because this is the news according to me. Thanks for listening, everybody. God bless. Have a great night, and hopefully I'll talk to you tomorrow morning.